This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Happy Black Friday, everybody. Fourier is not in the house. Mego is not in the house. I'm here, and I'm with Christian Arcane. Arcane, what's up, man?
I'm in the house.
What's up? How are we doing?
I don't have any vacation time yet. That's what happens when you just get high. There's no vacation until at least you're here for a month. That's what I that's what I was told.
So. I had some, but I just couldn't get I couldn't find an excuse quick enough to get out of it.
There you go.
But I'm here, so it's easy because I'm excited about it because, you know, Pats played last night. First off, how was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was great. We had about a dozen people over at my house, all there to see the baby, which was very nice. I don't know where they get off having this game at 8:30. I'm not that old, but I was struggling. I was a zombie by the time they kicked off that game. But I'm doing great today.
I actually think it's perfect perfect timing for me, you know, in the day. We did like a 1 o'clock kind of Thanksgiving thing. So you're kind of driving home and, you know, in the middle of that Dallas Giants game. And when I got home, it was like, I don't know, 5:15, 5:30. And I'm like, okay, I got 3 hours before the Pats start. Okay, how long can I nap for? And that's really what happened. I just sort of sat down, missed some of that Giants in Dallas game because I was like, whatever.
Did you miss that backdoor cover? I hit my parlay.
Nope,
by the way.
I saw the end of it, but I would say like end of the second quarter into like the third, maybe into the fourth, I was out. Mm-hmm. And when I got up, boy, I was like, okay, let's do this. Like, it was like perfect. The middle game is the toughest one to stay awake for. But late night, you're ready to go. And I'll say this, it was entertaining. It was definitely entertaining. Now, the Patriots end up losing this game 33-26. But, and I've said it many times, Arcan, where I would much rather have a good offense of team, like a normal-looking NFL offense team, struggle on defense, because at least it's an entertaining game. We can dive in how the defense improves. But I thought this was more entertaining with the loss than beating the Jets 10-3. Like, sitting and watching it as a fan, just entertainment, even though you lose this football game.
I'd say every Turkey Bowl game in Massachusetts was more entertaining than the Jets and the Patriots.
Oh, my God, except for Framingham Natick.
In the 10-3 game. I don't know how that one went. But either way, you're right. I mean, that was in my – I find myself this morning kind of split between disappointed that they lost and that they're now out of the playoff picture, only by a little bit, but they're still on the outside looking in right now. That was a winnable game.
Yep.
It was a winnable game against a good team.
Yep.
I feel like the defense has been exposed a little bit, but big picture, they needed a game like this. Mac Jones needed a game like this. The franchise needed it. You may not be talking about a playoff team this year, but you also now get to at least push off the conversation of, well, what are they going to do about the quarterback next season? I don't get to talk about Bailey Zappe today.
Yeah.
All right? I promised I'd stop.
Fourier's so upset he's not here today to kind of slap you and I around about Zappe, but this is what you've been waiting for.
It's true.
Like, you know, I love it because people are like, oh, what do you think of him now? And it's like, it's a career game for him.
It was a great game.
It was like a career game for him. He was fantastic in this game.
Right.
And you can nitpick. There's a couple things. You know what I mean? Not, you know, taking the sack, not throwing it away. We'll get into a lot of these details. But he was absolutely fantastic in this game. So if you want to call up and be the whole, oh, I told you he's great, then be my guest. We're here for you all day. By the way, the only place you could talk Pats and Vikings is right here, Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI. Give us a call, 617-779-7937. We could talk about this game all day long. So your takeaway is more of like just finally saw something from the offensive side, right?
And that's a big deal. And I think big picture, that's the main thing to take away from this. But small picture, looking at what really happened just in that game alone and what that means for this season, I think the defense looks a lot. If this defense yesterday was trying to sort of shed the idea that they disappear in the second half and that they only beat up on bad teams and bad quarterbacks, that was a terrible start to that campaign. I mean, it really was. Matthew Judon, just like last year, you didn't see much of him in that game. I think Uche had a sack like in the first quarter, and other than that, there was no pass rush at all. Justin Jefferson's going to get you fine, but you got to be able to get to Kirk Cousins. They were missing their starting left tackle, and I felt like the Patriots defense didn't show up really for many, many stretches.
And we knew that secondary was going to be tested. You know, we said, what's it going to be like when you're going up against, you know, Justin Jefferson, Hawkinson, Thielen as number two, Dalvin Cook, and it's like defense is going to be tested. But you sat there and said, well, the Cowboys sacked him seven times, Kirk Cousins, on Sunday, and the Patriots have a similar defensive approach. They're second in the league in sacks behind the Dallas Cowboys. So that's where the pressure comes from. You know, and you saw the pressure basically on the interception that Cousins threw. You know, they put pressure on him, got his feet moving, he's moving back. Awful throw from Cousins.
Yeah.
And you got the pick. You wanted to see more of that, you didn't. My takeaway from this was more of a big picture looking at it. Again, very entertaining game. And I actually feel better about the offense, you know, and this team in general. But what was evident to me was that this football team, you know, with this group of players and this group of coaches, and I'm not, you know, Bill Belichick, listen, he's the best coach in the league, but what's around him coaching-wise and how they go about their business, it seems like this team is not capable of winning these types of games anymore. Again, the attention to detail used to matter. Like, when we sit there and we bitch about, you know, Hunter Henry not going out of bounds,
right,
people can call up and say, oh, he put that on coaching. You know, the guy's been in the league a long time, he needs to go out of bounds. Okay. But when other teams used to do that, we used to call them dumb football teams. When other teams used to call it costly penalties that continue drives, and Patriots score a touchdown because of the stupid penalty, we call it a dumb
right.
football team.
They'd never get away with that in New England with
call
Bill.
It
yeah.
a poorly coached football team.
Right.
And what we've seen from this team the last 2-3 years, you get in a game like this, and it's almost like they're surprised to be in it and don't know how to react. I feel like the fourth quarter, the game sped up on them. They were fantastic for three. Yeah, perfect. You know, and a lot of the Paul calls are stupid plays, but still, they were in it.
Mm-hmm.
But in the fourth quarter, and the only other game that reminded me of this year, because it looked like a normal NFL football game, was the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah.
When they're in a tight game in the fourth quarter, and their last three drives, Arkham, were interception, fumble, interception. You're like, holy smokes. They just threw up on themselves in the fourth. Get into a tight game against a good football team where ball, you know, teams are going up and down the field, and they don't do the little things. They don't know how to do those anymore to win the game. And that was frustrating. And maybe this group needs to learn how to do that again. I know Bill knows how to do that, right? But does this group know how to do that?
Yeah.
Coaches included.
Situational football was the hallmark of this team.
Used to be.
And this group and sort of what they were about. And they would practice all these different scenarios and always be ready for whatever came up. And it just sort of seems like these days... And it sort of started last year, I think. I think you're sort of onto something with this, because last year, you remember they took the ball out of Mac's hands a lot at the end of games. They'd kick, or they'd, you know, try a field goal, or they'd punt it back and let the other
why
team...
Why aren't they going for it? Don't
why
they
aren't
trust
they letting
them?
Mac try on fourth down? Why aren't they letting him take a shot in the end zone?
Right.
Why aren't they letting him unleash it a little bit here? And, you know, I mean, for a rookie quarterback, you kind of understood it, but... He's not a rookie quarterback anymore, and I feel like he doesn't have that experience, and you're seeing, even in a game where he plays well, in a game where he can't get the offense running, I don't expect him to lead some game-winning touchdown drive. But in a game like that, where he had a pocket, where he was able to sort of go through his progressions and his hitches and all that other stuff and, you know, scan the field and pick out his receivers and really, for the first three quarters of that game, look like a top 10, top 15 NFL quarterback, which he did, then you see a different guy. You see the Mac Jones that we saw last year. You see, you know, something to build off of from there. He's still not quite where you want him to be yet, because you're right. He's not a guy that you hand the ball to and say, win this game for us, Mac.
Yeah.
He can't do that.
And when you're in games like that, where you kind of need to match the scoring, you know, and you're sort of allowing a guy like Mac to kind of do what he did yesterday, the results just haven't been there. I saw this tweet, it was Boston Sports Info, which is just, it's bizarre, but it tells you how Bill Belichick, you know, over the last 2 years has been trying to win football games. When Mac Jones, Boston Sports Info tweeted this, when Mac Jones throws for over 260 yards in a game, okay, over 260, this team is 2-7.
That's wild.
Now, when he throws under 260, they're 12-4. So what that tells you is, like, first off, we can get into the whole, you know, some of those teams when you're throwing for yards and you're losing, it's because you're going against good football teams, and you've got to kind of pick it up offensively. And he's got to throw the ball, and he's going to throw for 300 yards or over 260. They don't want to win like that. They'd rather win like they won last week. And for the majority, when you look at the last 2 years, maybe even 3 years, those are the teams they're beating. The teams where Mac doesn't have to throw the ball, because you're going to rely on Sam Ellinger, and you're going to rely on Zach Wilson, and you're going to rely on Mitchell Trubisky, you know, and you're going to rely on these quarterbacks to just throw up all over themselves. And you're like, just, we don't want it. But when we get into this type of dogfight game, that's a real NFL game that you got to win to be a good football team, they don't know how to do it. And that was probably my biggest takeaway from this game, because it didn't look like the game sped up on themselves. On them
in the fourth quarter, they didn't score in the fourth.
Three and out, taking sacks,
and that wasn't happening to Minnesota. Minnesota answered back from it wasn't a touchdown. The Hunter Henry overturn, it was a field goal. They responded to that with a field goal drive and then a touchdown drive. You went three and out twice, and that was the difference in the game right there. I mean, there's, you know, other factors that happened, but you want to talk about where things turned and where you couldn't answer the bell, that was it. It was that part of the fourth quarter where you just came up small.
I mean, you look at it, 3rd and 12, Judon, you know, makes it 3rd and 7. They end up getting a first down and scoring. Hunter Henry doesn't get out. End of the first half was awful.
Yeah.
Henry doesn't get out of bounds.
Mac's burn little time slide up. In the
Mac
middle there.
Slides,
horrible,
takes
yeah.
the sack, calls a timeout right away. Instead, he could have just thrown it to the feet of anybody or thrown it in the end zone. You know, and they don't have enough time to go for a touchdown when they really should have had two timeouts in their pocket. The kickoff return, obviously, for a touchdown. Pierre Strong running into the kicker. You know, then you got Trent Brown trying to chop block Danelle Hunter. Now, what, you know, like on a five-step drop where they're trying to throw the ball downfield, just stupid things. Face mask twice from Jonathan Jones. Just the things that we used to look at as Patriot fans and laugh at other teams and say they're poorly coached. Those teams don't know how to win yet. Patriots don't make those mistakes. And I think when you get in these games recently, the last few years, you're starting to see you're one of those teams that actually are making those mistakes. All right, we got a lot to get to here today. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your calls. You guys are already lined up. You want to talk about it as well. Tom E. Curran. He's going to join us at 4:30, get his thoughts on this game. But, of course, we've got to talk about the officiating next. We got to talk about the Hunter Henry catch, no catch. We got to get into some of the officials because I do think they affected it, even though the Patriots didn't play well enough to deserve any kind of breaks. We'll do it next. It's Maloney and Arcan taking your calls at 617-779-7937. We'll do it next.
This is Maloney, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Like to watch? Just follow WEEI on Twitch.
Don't see much of Tyquan Thornton. He's in the game here. Receiver, third and goal. Mac Jones, throw it end zone, and it's caught for the touchdown, Henry! He's got another one! Hunter Henry, Chandon Sullivan, the DB there. Brings it in. We'll make sure he had it secure as he hit the ground. The Patriots retake the lead.
After review, the pass is incomplete.
So Hunter Henry's denied a second touchdown catch in his many drives.
Well, that's what it sounded like yesterday, last night, I should say. The Hunter Henry catch, no catch. They went to review. I didn't think it was a catch. Arcan, how'd you feel about that call?
I thought it was a catch. I thought he caught it in real time. I saw the one replay where it looked like the ball moved, and then I saw it up close with the fingers underneath, and I said, that's a catch. There's no way. There's no way they're going to overturn this. There's no way they're going to say there's enough evidence to overturn it. Even though McCauley was very adamant about it, I trust my own eyes. And I was looking at it, and I said, well, okay, clearly with the fingers underneath it, you can't call that anything other than a catch. But they did. I was shocked.
You mentioned it. Terry McCauley, who on the broadcast at NBC, when they showed this replay, I was actually surprised at how sure he was. This is what it sounded like.
Mike, he's going to ground. He's got to maintain control when the ball hits the ground. It looks to me like he clearly loses control after the ball hits the ground.
So even though that hand is under as he's broken the plane,
but the ball hits the ground and it moves.
Exactly. He's got to complete the process of the catch. And here we see it. Absolutely an incomplete pass, guys.
Wow. He had the hand underneath.
Absolutely an incomplete pass. That was Terry McCauley. And I'll say this. I know you said he thought it was a catch. I thought they got it right. And I know people disagree with it. I heard Andy Hart and Gresh going back and forth about it. Was his hand under the football? Absolutely. But Gresh kept saying the ball never hit the turf. I disagree 100%. Like, leather hit the turf. His hand was underneath the ball, but at some point, the ball does hit the turf. He doesn't have the largest hands in the world that covers the entire football. You know what I mean? Like, he had his hand on the ball, but the ball does hit the turf, and on the way up, it kind of rolls a little bit. So, I understand it. And listen, the whole thing is confusing anyways, because the league, with defining of what a catch is and everything else, I know everyone's up in arms, and I would say for the most part, 80%, he's probably like, you know, that's a catch all day, every day. I saw people around the league, you know, that's a catch all day, every day. But I understand why they called it the way they did. Because I think there was part of the ball that hit the ground, just as his hand did, too, underneath. And then he kind of lost it a little bit, and it rolled on top of his chest. So I get it. Not happy about it, but I get it.
It didn't seem like there was enough cause. Because when you say, well, the call on the field is confirmed, as opposed to the call on the field stands.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's difference in sort of the talk there. And I just sort of was watching it going, okay, well, they called it a touchdown. It's going to be hard to overturn. Once you call something a touchdown, you got to have really, really great evidence. And I don't think any of those camera angles were great evidence. Maybe you could make an argument from it, but I always just, the way I interpreted that was always that you have to do more than just make a good argument. You have to be able to prove it, right? This video proves it. And I don't think any of those videos proved it.
I would agree. The call on the field was a touchdown. So the question was there enough evidence? evidence, and that's where it gets a little bit washy. But the problem is the league is such a mess with all of this.
Yeah.
The league is such a mess with this because afterwards, obviously, the pool reporters, they get together. Mikey Reese is in there, and he's talking to Walt Anderson, who's the vice president of officiating. Not the crew chief. Like, not the head ref, right? Which I think is a little bit weird. But anyways, they throw Walt Anderson out there. And the question was, what did you see to determine New England's Hunter Henry didn't maintain control? He says he was going to the ground. The ball ended up touching the ground, and he lost control of the ball in his hands. So then the question was, can you explain why he wasn't granted possession before the ball hit the ground? Because Anderson responds, because as he's going to the ground, he has to maintain control of the ball upon contacting the ground. The term that commonly used is surviving the ground. A lot of people refer to it. So as he's going to the ground, he has the elements of 2 feet in control. But because he's going to the ground, he has to maintain control of the ball when he goes to the ground. Says the question was, he has 2 hands on it. How much is factored into this decision that he had 2 hands on the ball? Anderson answers, well, if he had maintained control of the ball with 2 hands, even if the ball were to touch the ground, if you don't lose control of the ball, then it would still be a catch. The question, is there anything else that I didn't ask that is important to add to this discussion? Anderson, nope. Pretty much covered all the elements.
Yeah.
The problem is that when he starts talking to surviving the ground, that is no longer in the rule book.
Yeah, they changed that back in 2018, right?
Yeah, so that's no longer in the rule book. So this is where the league, still to this day, hasn't properly kind of determined what a catch is. But I get it. Like, I saw the ball move. I saw the leather hit the turf. Was his hand under the ball? Now, this is the other argument people said. Well, maybe it's not a touchdown, but it should have been a completion at the half-yard mark. Oh, like the half inch.
Oh, like he's down at the one.
The ball's over the goal line, but when he brings it back, he loses it. But the ball never hits the ground, so he has possession, and he's sitting at the half yard mark or the 2 inch mark or whatever it was. But I don't think that's the question of where the completion was made. I think they determined that the ball hit the ground at some point and jarred loose. So I actually think they got it right.
Yeah, I mean, I think either way. And this is important. Like, I think that was a bad call. I think they should have let that touchdown stand. But I'm getting pretty annoyed by everyone saying that cost them the game. That did not cost them the game. Even if they scored a touchdown there, the Vikings on their next 2 possessions kicked a field goal and scored a touchdown. When you went 3 and out twice, you still would have been trailing.
Agreed.
You still would have been behind. You needed to answer that back. You needed to do something about that and not just sort of, go into your hole there. And I know that there were some questionable calls, maybe your non-calls in those 2 3 and outs. But again, bad calls happen. Bad calls happen in the NFL all the time. You miss calls, missed holdings, missed this, missed that. There's lots of that. I think there were 2 bad calls in this game. That was one of them, and I thought that the missed face mask on 3rd and 1, I thought that was really, really blatant, too. But that, again, did not cost them the game. That would have extended the drive if they called that, and it would have been, first and 10 from wherever. I think they're on the 34, so that would have been 1st and 10 from the 44, which is better field position, sure. But that's not a guarantee you're going to walk down and score a touchdown again.
Did you get pissed
off at
the
offense had been playing?
Again, the kickoff return, the Kyle Duggar, was that a hold? I thought it was a hold.
I didn't think it was that bad.
We've seen...
You see that call get missed all the time.
Right.
Yeah. I think it probably got missed in the Marcus Jones return.
Here's the thing.
For the Patriots.
The refs... The Patriots are on the wrong side of some calls.
Yeah.
Okay, there's no question in my mind. Even like it was a 3rd down play. Do you remember the one where Hunter Henry, Dungy, who is awful, by the way, awful to listen to...
He's brutal.
...said that, that Hunter Henry's feet got tangled up?
That was the face mask play, yeah. That was the same play, yeah.
I don't think his feet got tangled up. I think there was a bunch of contact, and because of that, he stumbled out of the contact and actually fell to the ground. Then you look and you say, well, why was Tyquan Thornton standing 2 feet in front of him? Like, what kind of route tree was that?
Bad spacing. Yeah.
Right? So everything sort of had issues to it. But again, when you look at the Patriots, the way they played, were they on the wrong side of some calls? Could the calls have gone the other way? Sure. Could it have changed the game? Sure. But if you watch your team play, did they deserve it? You know what I mean? Like, again, the refs were bad, but did they look like they deserved to win that football game and they just completely got screwed out of it? I can't go there. You made too many stupid mistakes.
Yeah.
That's the main stupid mistakes.
If it was just that and that was it and those were the main things that screwed you over, fine. The second straight week, you have a guy run into the punter. Like, Jesus Christ, can we clean that up, please? The punter. Running into the punt. How often do you think you're going to block a punt? I know they blocked 1 punt this year, but maybe, like, stop thinking you're going to get that to happen every time because you're getting called for these penalties and they're extending drives on the other side. And that would have been a huge one right there if they stopped that.
You know, that the philosophy to even go after the punt, I would question. You know, when you're playing the Colts, when you're playing the Jets, And if you get a running into the punter and it gives them an automatic first down, fine. Because we're three plays away from them punting again because they suck. Their offense is brutal. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, whatever. We'll take our chances. And if we get called on it, whatever. We can still stop this team because their offense is pathetic. But when the Vikings or a good team are about to punt, just get the ball. Just thank you. Our defense did the job. Just take the ball. Like, you know what I mean? Set up a return. The guy back there just returned a punt the week before and won it for you. I would question, why are you even going after the block? Like, why not just take the ball?
Yeah.
And then three plays later, touchdown. And this is some of the stuff that we're talking about, the mistakes. Let's get to some of your reaction here at 617-779-7937. Let's start with Eddie in the car. Don's talking about the Hunter Henry catch. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, Lou. Hey. That was a good call. It was not a touchdown. And the reason why it wasn't a touchdown is because he juggled it twice. I mean, you don't want to say he juggled it twice, but in reality, he did. The ball moved when the ball hit the ground, so that's kind of like a little bit, all right, you got to hold it right there. But then when he pulls it up and it rolls, that's when he lost it, and that's the reason why they said it was no touchdown. Pretty clear to me.
All right, I appreciate it. I don't know if it rolled twice. I don't think there's any question that it rolled.
It moved when it hit the ground. I just thought his fingers were under it, and it moved because it hit his fingers. But I never thought that it really hit the ground and was down. So I never saw an angle where I saw for sure that it hit the ground.
I'm not debating that the hand was underneath it, but like Gresher's pretty adamant the ball itself never hit the ground. And I'm like, I don't know how you can feel that way.
There was a camera angle at Edelman's catch in 2016 where you saw clearly space between the ground. And you didn't clearly see that this time.
No, I think
you didn't clearly see a space there. So you can make the argument.
It was clear to me that part of the leather of the football touches the turf. Now, I'm not debating whether the hand was underneath the ball, but his hand, like I said, his hand's not that big that he can cover the whole freaking football.
Right.
So part of the ball does hit. And then because it hits, that's when he loses control of it. So that's why I say I understand why they made that catch. Let's go to Kyle, or that call rather. Let's go to Kyle in Maine who wants to talk about the catch as well. Go ahead. Kyle.
Hey, how we doing, boys? Big fan. Just want to talk about one rule when it comes to the Hunter Henry catch. What confuses me is why when a running back gets handed the ball and he crosses the goal line by reaching the ball over, why is that an immediate dead play touchdown?
Because he already has control. He already has possession.
Right, but correct, but I feel like we're penalizing these receivers for making like crazy athletic plays. Like he clearly caught the ball, had control of it, turned and crossed the goal line. So why isn't that a dead play the second he crosses, rather than
he has to survive
the ground?
Thanks,
you know?
Kyle. Appreciate it. Like I just said, like a running back or a quarterback running to the goal line already possesses the ball; they have control of it. The wide receiver has got to first prove that he caught it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Hunter Henry says he caught it. I believe him.
I believe I caught it, but, I mean, they made a call and just got to live with it.
Just for an explanation.
He said hit the ground, but my hand was under, I believe my hand was under the ball, so.
Did you believe him?
Yeah.
Did you be surprised that he said that he thought he caught it?
I believe him because he sounds like Paul Bunyan when he talks. You know, he's got kind of right? Yeah, like, oh, well, I believe I caught the ball. Like, I do believe him. Listen. There was one camera angle where you couldn't see the fingers and one where you could. And the one where you could, that's when I said, okay, I think he caught that ball.
All right, let's get back to Max in Bolton. Max, what do you say? Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, how are you guys doing today? I just wanted to say happy Thanksgiving.
You too, Max.
I know we're giving Judon a lot of crap. Because I'm not surprised. He disappeared at the end of last season in the playoffs. But I'm more disappointed with Duggar. It felt like he couldn't track tight ends at all yesterday. Curious to hear your guys' thoughts.
Yeah, Duggar in the touchdown to Hawkinson, he fell down.
Yep.
And that's how Hawkinson beat him to the corner. I feel like Duggar could have made that play if he didn't slip and fall. What was the other Duggar play?
I'll tell you, first off, on that Hawkinson touchdown, you know, Dungy and Garrett, like two former coaches.
Yeah.
These are the little things, too. Like, they were really hard on Duggar. They're like, you got to cover that flat. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? It was almost, that's why you saw Bill after that being so upset.
He was pissed, yeah.
So, like, we just watch it, like, oh, he just got beat. But, like, you know, coaches in the NFL, like, that's a basic play. You got to sit in that flat and wait for it to come to you. So, you know, in our minds, we look and say, Duggar, you know, but in, you know, coaches' minds, it's an awful play, probably from that perspective, right? And I got somebody in Texas says that we're frauds because we want to review it, but not review the play that helped the Pats win against the Jets. What would that be? The block in the back at the end of the game?
Oh, yeah. I thought that could have been called.
I thought that absolutely could have been called. And if it got called, guess what happens?
Yeah.
Nick Folk kicks a game winner and the game's
kicks
over.
Kicks it and it's over, and they win 6-3, and it doesn't matter. Exactly.
What's the big deal?
Great point there. But that also just goes to show, which is my point, is that there's bad calls every week or missed calls every week. This is the NFL. I mean, it's not like this is new here.
Yeah. I don't understand it. But listen, the Patriots, were there some bad calls? Sure. Did they deserve to win? Not really.
Don't think so.
No. Because the attention to details are absolutely pathetic. Let's go to Jesse in New Bedford. Go ahead, Jesse.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Happy Thanksgiving. I just want to say, you know, a couple things. You know, the refs stunk. I mean, there was a face mask on Mac.
Yep.
They missed it. There was a tripping where he got tripped. They missed it. And a little part of me almost thinks, like, if the NFL, which is a multi-billion-dollar corporation, and you keep seeing, like, Arkane, they said, well, you know, there's bad calls every week. It's almost like, oh, well, we get a little bad calls. Well, how come, like, little leagues like the XFL and the USFL, you don't see that happen? And my last point is, we definitely got to get some respect.
The USFL? How do you know there's no bad calls in the USFL?
I mean, honestly, Jesse, do you watch those two leagues? Like, how often do you watch them?
What I mean is the whole replay apparatus of it, where you know what I'm trying to say? I know there's bad calls, but I'm just saying the NFL, a multi-billion-dollar corporation, should have it more buttoned up. And just my last point is, we got to get some respect back in Mac Jones. He came back from a near-season ending ankle injury. Okay, came back within a month. You know, got zappied by his own fan base, and then he went toe to toe with the Vikings, which have way better weapons than we do. It's obvious. I mean, Justin Jefferson is a beast, and he almost pulled it out. But it comes back to coaching. We're not buttoned up, and I think that's the main reason why we lost. I'm going to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, I was starting to disagree there, but the more you said that last point, the more I tend to agree with you. I think that Mac Jones had a good game. He didn't have what it took to win the game at the end. Although he did put that ball there, and Aguilar stopped his route. So we'll talk about that play in a little bit, too. I thought that was a real tough play. I thought Mac delivered a good ball there, and Aguilar should have come down with
it. Why would he stop running? You're just surprised
he made contact with the guy, and he, you know, let it hold him up, and he stopped, and that was that. But, yeah, that was a play where I think Mac did the right thing. I think Mac delivered that ball, and the wide receiver, because he's not, you know, Justin Jefferson or anybody good to come up with.
I would say that this was the first game all year. So, you know, in my opinion, because I think last year came up an awful lot, Arkane, I don't know if you're talking about it, where they looked like a poorly coached football team.
Mm. Yeah, we mentioned that.
And like last year, I felt like it was often. Last year, I felt like it was the first 4 or 5 weeks. It was the last 4 or 5 weeks, you know, in the middle when you played some cupcakes with no weapons and the game's a little bit easier and won on script, the way you'd like to win, there was no big deal. And you could say that about the last 3 weeks. And I think there was discipline to win those games. I think Bill enjoyed winning those football games the way they did.
Mm-hmm.
He must have hated losing this football game the way they lost. Defense and special teams.
Yeah.
As I said how excited he was Sunday night after that Jets win. Defense and special teams. He must be miserable last night looking at how he lost his football team. But how can a Bill Belichick team look like they're poorly coached? And I've said this all year last year. I don't necessarily put it on Bill. Obviously, Bill's the greatest coach of all time. What he surrounds himself with, the attention to detail is lost. The communication is lost. Because that's how you lost this football game. This isn't a moral victory Monday. Okay, I've heard some people last night go, moral victory. No. This isn't moral victory. You should have won that game if you didn't play like a bunch of dumbasses at times.
Didn't we already waste our moral victory on the
it's
Packers
over.
Too, right?
There's
didn't...
no more moral victories.
Yeah.
There isn't anymore.
Not
in
week 12. Sorry. I mean, it's way too late for that.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
Let's get to one more call. I want to go to Scott in Nashua. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, buddy.
What's up, Scott?
What I was going to say was, in spite of the calls, there was a couple of bad calls on that kickoff return by Minnesota. Duggar was held, but that's not, you know. And then secondly, that's not what I'm blaming the loss on. And secondly, that was a catch by Henry, I thought, but that's not why I'm blaming the loss. What I blame the loss on is Belichick with three minutes and change left, in the fourth quarter on Minnesota's 37-yard line, he decided to go for 4th and 16 when he could have punted it, pinned him deep, and then had him go 3 and out, and then they would have got the ball back in better field position. Instead, he went for it. They didn't get it, and then they got percent, and then they shut Minnesota down 3 and out, and then then Minnesota put them right back where they started from. They had to go 89 yards in a minute with no timeouts left. I blame the loss on Belichick for making a poor call on that play right there.
Scott, I think if they had kicked it to Minnesota, and then forced them to go three and out, that would have been great. But what about that second half made you think they were going to stop Minnesota? Like that, yeah. You know, that defense, they were not.
Who were they?
They were not there.
On the 37?
Think. Yeah.
Actually, might have worked out perfect because that kid, Pallardy?
Yeah.
Like 31, 32-yard punts is
perfect
like his max.
Yeah.
So it would have been beautiful. Right, they could have pinned him. Again, like the punting. Yeah. Like, you know, he, you know what? That would have been the one time he got a hold of one. It would have sailed it through the uprights, and they would have gained, you know, 17 yards, and they'd have the ball on the 20. Why can't they find a punter? Like, seriously. Mm. What is good? Bailey sucked this year. Then this kid? How many 30-yard punts were there? Oh, you hear that? I hate it when, like, the ball comes off the guy's foot.
Yeah.
And you're on the road, and you hear the crowd start cheering, like, within 3 seconds, and you're right. Like, oh, no, he shanked it, you know, watching on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Happened all the time.
Yeah.
It was pathetic. All right, Patriot fans, what do you got? What do you think about this catch, non-catch on Hunter Henry? We're taking your calls on this Patriots loss to the Minnesota Vikings last night at 617-779-7937. More Pats and your calls. We do it next.
WEEI. New England Sports Original.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Merlone, Fourier, and Mego on WEEI.
Second and six. The backfield's empty. And Jones going down the middle. It's caught and grounded by Nelson Aguilar for the touchdown. Well, a couple of teams that were sleepy on offense last week, on a short week, have made resounding opening statements. The Pats walk it down the field and score. That's tops among the active guys in the league. In the middle, Henry's open. Hunter Henry broke a tackle on his way to the end zone for a touchdown! Good move in the open field for Henry. Opening drive score for the Patriots. New England takes the lead again.
Hey, play action's been awfully good.
That's what it sounded like, Mac Jones. Best game of the year for Mac Jones, arguably the best game of his career. Right? Is that fair to say?
I think it's absolutely fair to say.
I mean, I thought that he was really good in that Baltimore game, but he didn't finish it.
Nope.
Two picks in the fourth quarter, he could get it done. But this was, by far, in my opinion, the best game of the year for him. And even mentioned an Aguilar pass. I thought that was a really nice pass. Actually had a shot if Aguilar kind of kept running.
Yeah.
But I thought he was really good.
I thought his timing was good. I thought his processing and all those other things that people tried to say was good in those Jets and Colts games, which was ridiculous. That's what it actually looks like when the processing's happening.
Thank you.
That's what it looks like when he's seeing the open guy and delivering the ball in the right place. Not whatever you saw against the Jets and the Colts where, you know, once in a while he'd maybe get a completion and the rest of the time you're sitting there going, God, can this offense do anything? Like, that's different. That's what it looks like when it's actually functioning last night, which I hope some of the, you know, some of the truthers, the Mac truthers, at least recognize that. But all in all, I'd say there's still some room for improvement, but that was a major, major leap
right.
in the right direction. I was starting to think there wasn't going to be another game like that for him ever this year.
Well, we sat there with this Minnesota game. I thought the Vikings were going to cover this game. I thought they were going to win this game because I sat there and said, I don't even know what it looks like anymore. You know, the last time we saw it was week three against the Ravens,
yeah.
with Mac Jones, that is. I don't even know what it looks like. Like, how do you go up and down the field? And that first drive, boy, they just went right down the field. You're like, what mm-hmm. the hell is this? But Mac, again, 28 for 39, 382 yards, two touchdowns, no picks, 119.8 passer rating. I think it was his best game he's played all year. And understandably, the protection was there. The line was there. So I got to give Matt Patricia some credit. You know, listen, we can crap on people all you want, you know, and I think it's deserved. But we ripped on them and said, listen, figure it out. You're not the only team that's got offensive line issues.
Right.
You're not the only team that's got a tackle down or a guard down or both down or whatever. Like, figure it out. Like, do some different things. And they did. And Mac had a ton of time. And is that the way it looks all the time? No. But I also think it was a nice little release from maybe the defenses they've played recently. But I thought he was fantastic in this game. The only complaint, obviously, end of the half, right? Not throwing the ball away, taking that sack.
Yeah.
Which I hated that entire. Like, it was weird because as good as they moved that football and got points at the end of the half, which I was excited about, it was still frustrating to watch.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think the sacks in the fourth quarter were, it's hard to always know if that's on the line or if that's on Mac or whatever, but that you can't take a sack there. Like, you just can't take a sack at the end of that game when you're on the 30-yard line and you've been moving the ball and then you go back 9 yards. I mean, that was brutal. That was
it was, but that put that on Trent Brown. Like, yeah. That was the one with the chop block, right?
Right.
On Danelle Hunter. And by the way, it's Danielle, isn't it?
It like, looks like Danielle.
If you want me to call you Danelle, get rid of the I.
Right.
Because right now it's Danielle. But I'll go with Danelle.
Remember the running back, Christine?
Yeah.
He's like, no, it's Kristen, which is also tough. But, like, it's spelled Christine.
Right. But on third and seven, you're sitting there and you're protecting a quarterback, five-step drop, you're letting plays develop downfield. And Trent Brown just sort of, cut blocks him?
Yeah.
Which is something you would do if there's, like, a quick slant to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to get the DN down on the ground to make that pass. But like a five-step drop with things are developing downfield, you cut block him. Obviously, he gets up and sacks Mac Jones.
Yeah.
So it's like, but the end of that first half again, that's the one. And I was excited too because you hit the ball in the second half. Bill calls a timeout as the Vikings are kind of going in around the 1 yard line. He calls time. And I'm like, ooh, he's calling timeout because he's going to let Mac kind of try to score.
Right.
Right. And in the last couple of years, we've seen times where he's like, just let it run out, go to halftime, get the ball in the second half. But they were aggressive. But for Hunter Henry to waste, a good 20, 25 seconds because he doesn't take a step to the right?
I know.
And get out of bounds?
That was a nice play by the safety, but, not that nice. You're right there.
You jump out of bounds. Yeah. You probably have a minute 20 to go and two timeouts. And then they got one timeout left, and Mac takes the sack. They burn both timeouts. They're sitting there on, the 5-yard line. They have, not much, 6 seconds, 7 seconds to go. And now they got to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
They should have had 2 or 3 opportunities to score a touchdown.
That was about as discombobulated as they've looked all year. And this is one of their better games.
Yeah.
You know?
let me take a call. Kerry in New Hampshire, because I don't agree with this one. But go ahead, Kerry.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
This is a little nitpicking, and it's a bit of an aside. But the punter right for the Vikings, he flopped 2 or 3 times during the game. And listen, I know Mac Jones flops. But it just irritated me. If you look at the play when Pierre Strong runs into him, he brushes his foot and Wright spins around, literally picks up his feet and flops on the ground, and it just irritated the heck out of me.
Every punter does that all the time.
Unfortunately,
that's
a good play.
I mean, that's the way it goes. That's what they all do, and they do that because they know if you breathe on the guy, if you're close enough that you can touch him, then they can take advantage of it. And they do, and they make that call every single time. And Pierre Strong shouldn't have been anywhere near him when that happened.
Unfortunately, unfortunately we're at the point where it was the right play for him,
yeah.
Right? And you could argue that when Kyle Duggar got held on the kickoff return, if his arms went in the air and he spun and fell to the ground, maybe he gets the call.
Maybe.
When Mac Jones, the face mask, you know what I mean, where his head just kind of turns a little bit, fall down, flare, whatever, snap your head back, exaggerate, whatever. I mean, you get calls that way.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. I don't blame that punter kind of for doing what we saw from him. I had somebody, Arkan, I know you and I kind of feel similar ways about Mac Jones. We all both can admit. I love it. People are like, oh, you're going to admit that he had a good game now because you're a hater. It's like, no.
Of course he had a good game.
No, I'm not a hater on Mac Jones. But can you admit that that's the best game he's ever played in his career? We had someone tweet at me and say, now do you think he's a top 10, top 15 quarterback? And I'm like, because of one game?
Hell no.
He played at the level where I was very encouraged. Got protection, used all his wide receivers, felt good about it.
If this was week one and he followed up last season with that game that he just played last night, then I'd say, yeah, you know what? You're looking at a guy who's top 10, top 15 this year. I would be thinking that because he was a Pro Bowler last year and he played in the playoff game. And look at this great progress that he's made. But to ignore the first 11 weeks of the year,
no.
I know he didn't play in all 11 weeks, but to ignore the first 8 weeks that he played in and act like those didn't exist is just insane to me.
Now, he was good last week.
Yeah.
Right? Now, they only put up 3 points offensively. We said he was good, wasn't good enough. The offense still has their issues. Now, it's kind of 2 weeks he's put together, and he was fantastic, okay, last night. He was. I mean, it is what it is, right? When a guy's great, he's great.
Sure.
And he was great last night. But isn't it okay to want to see more of that? Like you know what I mean? Like, if that's bad quarterbacks have one great game, and I don't think he's a bad quarterback, but don't you kind of want to see it against Buffalo? Don't you kind of want to see it against – I mean, you got 6 more games. I'd like to see maybe not that level of a performance, 382 yards – but I'd like to see the resemblance of that 5 of the last 6.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. How about you crack 300 another time? You know,
that's the third time he's done it in his career.
Right.
Played a lot of games.
It's true. You know, Zappi's played three games. He's done it once. I think that, and that's another thing that annoyed me, too. Everybody like, oh, you Zappi people, you should be ashamed of yourself. Should I? Should I be ashamed of myself that Mac Jones finally had as good a game as Bailey Zappi did this year for the first time all year? Like, that's not something I feel bad about. I feel bad that other people haven't been honest about Mac Jones and what they're seeing with him up until this point. He finally played a good game, and that's great, and I hope he keeps playing good games because he's going to need to. You got Buffalo twice, you got Burrow and the Bengals, you got the Dolphins and Tua and all these good offenses. You need this from Mac Jones. Absolutely you need it. But let's not act like this has been what he's doing all year. It's not even close.
No, I love it. Best game of his career. People jump through the roof. Listen, he had a great game. He had a great game, and I want to see more of it. All right, we'll get more into the offense, more into Mac Jones, because they still have their issues in the red zone. We got to talk about Matt Patricia play calling as well. It's Merlone and Arcan Fourier is out. Mego is out. We got you covered. It's the only place in town you can talk Pats Vikings. Give us a call at 617-779-7937. We're hitting everything with this football game. More of your calls in the offense next.
You're invited to join Ernie Bach Jr. and WEEI's The Greg Hill Show for their Toys for Tots live broadcast at Bach Exotics.
I keep saying we've been doing it for 15 years.
Probably.
I think it's longer.
It's probably longer.
Okay. December 16th on Route 1 at Bach Exotics Toys for Tots.
Yeah, so get your toys ready. We do this every year. We have guests. We have Santa there. We have food.
It's going to be great.
We have music. We have all that stuff. And we will see you there on the 16th of December.
6 to 10 a.m. on Friday, December 16th. Featuring a catered breakfast from Timeout Market Boston, Santa and his elves, special guests, and more. Can't make it? Drop off brand new unwrapped toys to Bach Exotics at 441 Providence Highway on the Auto Mile, Route 1 in Norwood, through December 16th.